We were looking at the broadcast, how warm it was going to be. My wife said, okay, it's time we can hit the road. Oh, well, we could have done that before I committed, but not now. So I'm glad to be here. It's always a big responsibility for us to teach, because I really think we're going to give account to everything we say. I know that when I'm sitting down and I hear the truth preached, I'm responsible as I'm sitting down for what I hear. So we're responsible for the Word of God that we just got to be, I think, always trying to go forward regardless of the situations. Tell my wife, the only thing that should lead us is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit impressing our hearts. Because I know that when you got to do things that when you don't feel like it, when it's for a spiritual thing, it's easier to cave in, to give in. Like if God was okay with it, when we don't go along and do what he says. But we just got to learn to say not to ourselves and yes for him. Like Jesus put it in different words, if you can pass this cup, this judgment, do it. But if it's not, let your will be done. And it's hard. It's not a easy battle, but once you get used to it, it's delightment. But you have to keep at it, because this flesh, our nature does not want to get off the throne. I tell people, they call on the name of the Lord, but they want to still keep calling the shots. And I said, well, you got to examine if you really gave your life to Christ, because when we give our life to Christ, we belong to him twice. He created us and he bought us. So if you still want to be saying what you want to do with the things that God says we ought to do, you got to think twice. Because that's the whole thing about repenting. Now I'm getting out of the subject. I'm going to preach a little bit about faith. Let's go to Luke. What is it? Luke 18? Luke 18. And let me change. I thought I was going to be in trouble. It gives you an option of Bible, and I only see the NIV. But it picked up the whole Bible. So it's going to be in King James. I would not teach out of the... They always want to give me a... Bibles, NIV Bibles. I said, no, thank you. And they say, why is the Bible? I just don't get into it because I know I'm going to make it mad. Okay, let's read. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. There's another verse that says that we ought to pray without ceasing, without stopping. There's normally seasons, and we plant in only one season, we reap in another season, we water the orchards in one season, but when it comes to pray, God says continue, don't stop. Verse 2, saying, now he illustrates the need of prayer with this illustration, with this parable. Number two, verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow that in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, but yet because this widow
troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she will worry me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, this is the phrase that I'm going to talk about. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? I have heard a lot of expressions like, man, the world's getting harder and sinful. Well, we can shine more. We can be more the salt of this world. The worse it gets over there, the more we could be showing what God is able to do. But when it comes to faith, we all need to reinforce or grow or increase in faith, because the harder it gets, the tougher we've got to get. And only faith will do it. We all have setbacks. We got problems in all kinds of different angles from different sides of life. But the thing that God wants to... Are you going to have faith when I come? And believe me, the world is crumbling in. It's getting worse. There wasn't so much entertainment when I was young. I'm still young. I'm only 57. Hey, somebody... Today's my birthday, and somebody called me, happy 75 years old. Hey, I appreciate you telling me, but that age is, I'm not up there yet. As I was saying, God wants us to know if he's going to find faith. Now, God knows us from beginning to end, inside and out. He knows. But sometimes he says things. My son asked me, Dad, if God knows things, why he wants us to ask him? If he knows already. I scratched my hand, waited a little bit, and started thinking, what answer could I give him that he says, yeah, that's right? Well, I started thinking, well, God knows, but sometimes we forget God, that he wants us to know that he's there for us. And He knows if he's going to find faith and how much faith he's going to find in each heart, in each life when he comes. But he's still asking, when I come, am I going to find faith? Now, in faith is really important. Anybody knows Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, we cannot please him. In Isaiah 43:7, it says that he has created us. He has formed us for his glory. So if we're here and we know our place in this earth, is to glorify God. But without faith, it's impossible. We can't see him. We just have to learn to trust him. Right? Because we can't. How can we trust something? Some people have said, Gabriel, how can you trust a God that you don't even know is there? No, I do know that he is, but you can't see him. Well, that's the good thing, that I trust him because he's real. But without faith, we can't. And believe me, I have seen so many people that have not overcome problems that they sometimes leave the church, get offended with the relatives or friends or brothers in faith because they have not learned to trust God that he will take care of the problem. I told this person that left angry and disappointed because things would not be done like he wanted it. And he left the church. And I told him, hey, I could tell you why you left the church. Are you a witch doctor? Or are you read minds? No. But it has happened before, and I could tell you. Could I tell you? Well, okay. He says, and I told him, we all have problems from... The devil will try to oppress and take away the spiritual things that we have learned and what God has given us to do by any means. We call them problems, but they're just opportunity for us to learn to go to God and trust him more. And I told him, you left the church, you're probably going to blame people, them, all around you. But the problem that you're having is that you're lacking the faith because you haven't got, you haven't let God deal with the problem. And you haven't been able to trust him that he's going to do the right thing no matter what has happened. Yeah, but don't even tell me you're going to blame others. But the problem is that you haven't learned, you haven't taken this problem to God, and if you did, you haven't learned to trust God. You haven't had faith in him that he's going to fix the problem. That's why you left. Well, they scratch their head, kind of walk away, but brothers, we need faith. We need the faith, and God is asking us, am I going to find faith? Now, there's 385 times that the Bible talks about faith. It's a lot. You know, Jesus said, I truly, truly, I say that means business twice. But when he says it mentions faith about close to 300 times, that's more serious. But faith is very important. And look how important it is that God says, hey, fight for it. Stand with it. Go to Jude chapter 1. It's only one chapter, so we're going to read verse, what verse? Verse 3. Look how important it is. I know that this book talks about the last days, how people are going to rise and be so ungodly, so evil. But in verse 3, before he starts describing these people, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I mean, we have to stick to our guns. We have to trust no matter what the circumstances is. We have to learn to have faith in God because he's able. If it's no matter what, little, small, we have to learn to trust God. We have to stick to our guns and don't let them go. So whenever they put something in the ballot, don't vote for it. Stick to them. Because it tells us, it exhorts us to contend for the faith. Somebody, somewhere down the line, I don't know how, who, or when, or what, but they're going to try to take your faith away. They're going to try to make you stumble and for you to little by little start denying God. And we need to stand firm in faith. Now, if it's important, look how important it is. Go to Ephesians 6:16. It talks about a shield of faith. I don't know how conscientious you are, but the devil doesn't like us. And he's going forward by any means to try to stop us glorifying God. Says that the worst enemies sometimes are the ones that don't receive Christ of our own family. From the inside, that hurts more. You know, when I converted, Ephesians 6:16. My mom, she wasn't really close to the church, but she still stands for her beliefs. And when I was reached by someone that came out of jail. He didn't know what he was saying, but he said, I wanted to change, and I tried trying everything. I even went to be an altar boy to try to change, but it didn't work. So I quit. It was the same thing. My brother Joe that preaches in Kennewick, he had a little band that played in the little restaurants all the time, and I was there just ready for the trouble. But I didn't like it. I didn't like to drink. I didn't like to smoke and do whatever they did. But I was one of them, and I didn't feel like I didn't want to be different because I wanted to fit in. But I didn't like it. So I said, "Oh, I'm going to go and become an altar boy. That's what I need." But it didn't work because they made us. They had disco. They had DJs, and they had discos. They wouldn't allow us because we were kids, but they were selling beer and making us, they played bingo and made us put all the, or set up everything. And I said, what's the difference out there and in here? It's the same thing. We were still looking around for the youth that would come, and we were still doing things that we just felt like it without really being godly at all. So got me out when somebody challenged me to read the Bible, and I said, I'm going to catch them in their own lies. I'm going to start reading the Bible just to catch them. But the more I read, the more I felt accused. And the more I heard, the more questions I had for the priest. At first, he used to pinch me because I had questions. The Bible says this, and you're telling us this, and he would make it that it hurted. He went, all he could. And I was young, skinny. But I sure ran fast afterwards because I still kept doing the question, but I was ready if he wanted to pinch me to run. But what really overflowed the cup was this. They read to me because they used to tell me, look, they'd show me how to use the Bible, where to find the chapters, books, verses, and they would let me read it. They would not read it to me. And one day they read to me what was going to judge me, the Word of God. They read John 12:49 that says that if somebody hears the Word, does not take it, the same Word that he has heard will judge him at the last days. Ooh, I felt it. So I went to the priest again. Hey, you say that the church is going to judge us. And look, I heard that the Bible says, oh, that the Bible is not for you. We can't interpret it correctly. It's only the few, the people that are more spiritual on the top. We can't. So I have told you to put it away. And he said this, and this is why it made me leave. I didn't want to do nothing with it. He says, if the church and the Bible contradicts, put the Bible away. Believe the church. I have patience like the width of a hair. And I said, you telling me to listen to humans instead of the Word of God? Uh-uh. And I wasn't saved. But I just like to be honest and not play around, and I don't like to be double-minded. Then I said, you're telling me to put the Bible away? No way. Not on my terms. Not in my life. So I grabbed the robe, folded, resigned. That you're going to have to go to the purgatory, and I'm going to tell you that I don't care. I quit because you're telling me something that I don't believe. So I left. But a couple of weeks later, somebody came out of jail. And I'm not going to say that was show my brother. He hates this testimony. He got arrested in Mexico, like 30 pounds of marijuana. It was the only thing that we knew. He made a promise and said, God, if you deliver me, I'll give you my life. I'll serve you. He received Christ in jail. Well, you know what? There was a technicality. I don't know if they paid. The government's really corrupt. So he just offered them money and they changed everything, the paperwork, and they let him out. So God let him out, and he kept his word. He still was serving the Lord. But he came to the house. I grew with my cousins. My two uncles had like 8 other kids, boys. So we didn't call ourselves a gang because at that time they weren't called gangs. But man, my dad, my two uncles, kids, we used together, and we were a bunch. We were a lot. We were like 10, 15 guys. Different ages, but we were all there just talking. They had a little group music, and they played. So we just used to hang around and protect ourselves because in the 70s, there was it was the colored people town area. There were the Anglos and the Hispanic invading anywhere they could rent. They didn't associate it really in a section of the town, the Tri-Cities. They just rented whenever. And there was a lot of racial disputes, so we used to get in a lot of fights, but we were used to protect ourselves because we were a whole bunch. But I didn't like to play games, so I resigned. But he came and starts turn off the TV, the radio, and gather us. There was like maybe 20 people from the three families. He said, God saves. He wants you to repent. He changes lives. Ew, that lined my attention. Oh, it changes? I have tried it, but it hasn't worked. So everybody started going to the kitchen, turning on the TV, just backing off and not wanting to listen. And I waited. 1 hour later, in the back of my house, we just sat there. Can you tell me a little bit more about God changing lives? Yeah, he gave me the gospel. And I remember that house is still standing. It's all beat up and all ready to be teared down, but it's still there. And in the back of the stairs of the back of the house, we would sit there and he guided me to Christ. And that was the day of my life. I wanted to change the world. When I started going to church, then I had my Bible and people say, oh boy, here he comes. Crazy then and now crazy now with his Bible in the hand. Now that's too much. But I was apologizing, trying to make things right. God changed 180 degrees. But that day, my faith started. And I really believe that faith starts when we trust Jesus as our Savior. Because a lot of people, even religious people, say, yeah, we got faith. Oh, our faith's so big, three times around this earth. But when it comes to what they have their faith on, it's not really faith. It's just a concept that is just thinking. But really, faith is when you Romans 10:17 says, "And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." When you really have a good faith, is what the Bible gives you, the promises of God, the word of God that strengthens you enough to believe it. Because there's a lot of people that have faith, but they have faith in Buddha, they have faith in Joe Smith, they have faith, and that is not faith. That is just being deceived, saying that they have faith, but the Word has not created that faith. Just a religious faith that is not worth nothing. But here in Ephesians 6, just look how important that is. 16. You have it? Did I say it right? 16. Let me find it. This is talking about the armor of God. And this is one of them. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You know, darts, in this time, when we think of a dart, is this big, like 3 or 4 inches. They have a target, like foot and a half, 18 inches around, and you throw it. Well, before, they weren't little darts. They were big arrows. They were big. And anything that does not align to the will of God, it's a fire dart from the devil for you to... I mean, I got to confess this. I even tell God, I love fishing. I like to go... sit down on the side of the river, get out of all the commotion of the city, all my responsibilities, throw the line, sit down, and go to sleep. I love that. Put a little belt on the fishing pool so if it bites, I can hear the bell ring. Once I went hunting when I was young, we got lost. It started raining. We were so cold, and I thought I was going to die. I said, hunting is not for me. No way. But people like it. But I even gave that to the Lord. Lord, if this hinders me to take care of my family, to be not faithful to my work or you, I'll give it up. I have gone, there's a lot of lagoons where I'm at. I have gone twice in 4 years. I'm tempted to get the license, which is no problem, but then I have to use it because the year before, I took it and said, I'm going to go. And I never used it. I said, what a waste of money. I don't want to spend $45, $45 if I'm not going to use it. So Isaac said, "I'll buy it for you, Dad." Oh, he's tempting me. But one of these days. But when the devil, look, I'm going to say this, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but everything that God made is for us to enjoy. Everything. That's what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. But this is where good things become sinful. If we take God's purpose or motive of the things we do the way we do them, then they become sinful. If anything takes the place of God, it's bad. I mean, he gave everything, but we got to keep it in the purpose and motive that God made it for. To be able to be pure and good and healthy. Because otherwise, the good stuff becomes sinful when we take it out of God's purpose and God's motive. So I said, "Lord," because my wife was saying, "We got too much fish. You don't need him. What you want him for? You just go." Well, maybe she's right. I don't need to go. Just to have my wife happier, that made a difference. But I told the Lord, "Lord, if something that I do is injuring, I'm going to put it aside and I'm going to do it right. I'm going to put it in your hands so you can do whatever you want with me." But when it comes to faith, I mean, we have to see things like God sees them and have a perception that God has of the things we are around to be able to see that they don't come a fiery dart from the devil, because they could be one. He says that our warfare is not used with carnal-minded weapons, but to bring anything that exalts any knowledge that comes against the knowledge of God and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. And brothers, believe me, we're in a spiritual warfare. We like it or not, we know, either we know it or not, or we're conscious about it, but the devil wants to use any means to try to block the fellowship with the Lord. And we need faith. The faith is important because we need it. I'm going to read again. "Above all, take the shield." We like to save things a lot here in America. We buy them to use them once, and then they're kept for life. "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil." He doesn't stop. They say he doesn't rest. The only thing I know is that he's not everywhere like God is. So there's demons and bad spirits, evil spirits. But he's probably working with the bigger people, more important people. But he's at work. And they say that he doesn't rest. I don't know if he does or not, but I'm still going to be careful that anything that I do, say, or think, or want doesn't give a chance to the devil. Because I'm going to live by faith. I have lived by faith. In a matter of fact, if you want to know my email, is gabriellivingbyfaith@gmail.com. It's just to give me a little reminder that where I need to be standing. GabrielLivingByFaith@gmail.com. That's my email. I'm not going to give you my password, but it's almost like it. It uses the word faith. But brothers, the devil is always after us. And, well, God says, submit to God, resist the enemy, the devil. He'll flee from you. So we need to have a faith, immovable faith, because it is needed. It's important. What happened with the people in the Old Testament that they failed? They did not go. The first generation did not go to the promised land like God promised them. Do you know what made them fail? This particular thing. Go to Hebrews 4. And we're going to read verse 2. Did you know that in the garden the gospel was preached? Did you know that through the Old Testament there was a promise of somebody that was going to defeat the enemy, hitting him in, injuring in the head? That was the gospel then of a Messiah, of a Redeemer. But look what it says here in Hebrews 4:2. This is what happened. Now there's we gotta make sure we exercise our faith because we need it. And this is the problem that happened to them that I hope it never happens to us or as individuals or as family or as church. Hebrews 4:2. You have it? It says, let's read verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? With faith. God was the resource that we have today. And God, he said, just believe me, trust me, I'll be there, I'll be your provider, I'll be your shield, I'll be your everything, just trust me. And unfortunately, every time that they had a little setback, instead of going to God, they just murmured, they just made it ugly. They just didn't believe that God was there to take care of them. All they had to do is follow, obey. All they had to do is just trust that God was there. He was a shield at night, at day, for them to be moving as he would want to in the shade. And he was fire at night so they could see if God wanted to move and they could do it. He was, I mean, everything. He provided them, but they still had a problem because they lacked of putting God's word, putting their faith on it. And the same thing will happen to anybody if we don't learn to trust God. Now somebody, everybody says we got faith, but you know when it really shows if we got faith? When the tough gets rough. I mean, we have some faith because we have learned to put Jesus, we have trusted Jesus as a Savior, and praise the Lord, we all started our faith, a walk of faith. But the Bible tells us in four places that the just shall live by faith. Paul put it this way. We live by faith, not by sight. Not according to what we see. And the problem that these people had was that they had the word of God spoken to them, but they didn't mix it. They didn't put their faith on it. The second generation into the promised land, but since they didn't exercise in the faith, they failed too. That's why God sent judges to deliver them, because he would hand them to the enemies to for their wrongdoings, for leaving God aside, for doing the wrong things, because they didn't trust God either. And that's why God had mercy and compassion of them, because the cycle of the judges. God delivered them, hallelujah, praise the Lord, everything fine. But little by little, they started slacking, not even God, little by little, and before they knew it, they were so into the evil things that God hated it, that they were handed into the enemy's control. Oh, they were suffering, and they realized that they were wrong. They repented. They called the name of the Lord. God would send a judge. Okay, they delivered 15, 20 years without oppression. Again, the cycle started again. Brothers, we need to trust God in little things as in big things. There's no such thing as doing it on our own, because we will fail. Anything that we don't do, anyway, the Bible, when it talks in Romans 14 that if we eat or not eat, we gotta do it for the Lord. And it turns out it says that anything we do that's not of faith is sin. And brothers, trusting God is we need to trust Him because we need to trust Him. He said in Hebrews very clear that without faith we can't please God. But we have to believe that He is and that He rewards those that diligently seek Him. So if faith is really important. Three things are 13:13 of 1 Corinthians. Love, I think the King James says charity, faith, and hope. We got to keep our faith as high as standard as much as we can. Now, anything that comes against you that will require obedience or following God or doing decisions, take it by faith. Not by sight. Believe me, we just came out of a big issue, and we're still fighting for it, and we're still staying firm that God gives us the opportunity to keep serving Him. But it's been rough. It's been tough. But God, you know what? God rewards those that diligently keep the faith. And brothers, we gotta, no matter what happens, no matter, you know, the easiest thing is to leave God for later, for when I'm better, when things are not so rough. But that's when we need to grab God's hand and not let go. Because we all have up and downs. Our soul, I tell my son, you don't do things that you feel good about it. You do things that are right because that's where God is going to hold you and going to keep you going. If we would just do it when it feels good, let me tell you, most of the things we ain't going to do them. Because our soul, the sun comes up, we're happy. It feels good. But the sun goes down, that we're, oh, it's cold, and we don't feel that good. No, the only thing that should direct us is the Word of God through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. That's it. So, brother, we need to keep the faith because the example that we have, in a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 10 says that there these things happen and they are written for them to be an example that we don't do the same things. And, brother, I mean, I don't know, but when it gets rough, this tape recorder that we have here has the tendency to erase. Try to just act like a chicken without a head. They told me to kill a chicken in Mexico, and I just knew that they just twisted and somehow broke the neck. Well, I did too. But you know what? I dropped it, and the chicken started running. I didn't kill it. But, brothers, we have to keep our faith because we need it. In little things, you know, I don't know if you still have kids at home. Some people, they just can't let them go out to the yard because they think they're going to steal them. Hey, you got to put God in your mind. You got to put God in everything that we are because we need it. We need to trust Him. Yeah, let's keep it, let's open the curtains, but not to be to a point to be afraid of letting them go out. I know that the world is wicked. Some places in this country, you can't go out at night as we used to because it's scary now. You just don't know what might happen. But we still have to trust God no matter what. Why? Because He requires it, to trust Him in little things as in big things. Why? Because He's God and He has our back. And we just need to trust Him. And the example that we have that these people failed was because of the lack of faith that they had. Can God give us food in the desert, no matter if He would dry all the animals of the sea? That would not be enough for this multitude. Oh, yeah. And God heard it. And He didn't feel very happy about it, that He gave them quails. They ate so much that they got sick. And so many died because of their unbelief. No matter what it is, brother, I tell my wife, honey, the worse it gets that we go home. I mean, if we go And I don't go in December to conference because it gets over there. It gets pretty deep of snow, and I don't have a good car. I just have a family car. My son has a broken back. My wife doesn't bend her knees, so we got a big car, a van, so we can take a few with us if we go, if they want to go. But there's a conference in January, and it's where is it in towards Seattle? Oh. Look, my wife has a hard time going with me to conference, but we still have to trust God no matter what. Honey, if God wants to take us, He's going to take us wherever we are. It's not that we're in the road and we sleep. When we're going to go, we're going to go. So the worst it could get is trying to get to where we're going, to the conference or doing whatever, because, well, God's going to take us. We could be asleep. We can be resting. We can be in our headquarters. We can be in our comfy zone. God is still going to take us. But when it comes trusting God, we just got to get out there and do it. Why? Because we have to. If God says so, I'm nobody to go against it. I'd rather do it. There were three preachers that called me, Gabriel, quit. Stop. You got your house. You don't need to be homeless. And I was thinking, this is the least I was expected from anybody. Maybe from a normal Christian that sits in the pews, but from preachers, I kind of hang up pretty quick, as fast as I could. I didn't want to hear those things. I needed encouragement. Gabriel, God is able. God could deliver you. God has a plan. God will. Somebody said He's just stretching you to be able to take something bigger. Well, that helped a little bit. But brothers, we need faith because the circumstances demand it. And believe me, trusting God, once you get to do something, start practicing and getting, it gets easier. The tough is when you have to start something, you start a couple of days and you forget it and you have to start again. That's why I don't make resolutions in the beginning of the year, because, we do it, how much we keep it, a month, 2 months maybe? And then we drop it. No, I said, no, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you the 12 months. I'll make resolutions, but just to renew the thing that I have to do, be faithful to you. But brothers, there's the shield of faith is going to protect you. The devil wants to, if you stick to God's word in your mind, because he's going to try to deal with your mind like he did with Adam and Eve and what he tried to do with Jesus. If you stick to the word of God, he won't mess your mind, because the Bible says that as we think, that's how we respond. That's how what we do. So the devil is going to try to hit your head, your mind, change it, or to doubt. He did something to Adam and Eve. He questioned the word of God, like if God was keeping them from something good. But you know what? The only hope and the only thing that we need to do is stick with the word. Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that took care of the problem. Was he hungry? Well, yeah, he had spent a month and 10 days not fasting and not eating. You think he was hungry? Of course. But you know what? The devil wanted to tempt him to do something out of God's will. So he can take what he took from Adam and Eve. The dominion. He said, look, all these things are mine. They're given to me. I can give them back to you if you just kneel down and worship me. No, it is written. You should not tempt your God. He claimed his position. But brothers, when it comes to faith, it's what's going to make us go forward. And if we don't have faith, you know how, did you know that faith increases like anything else? Did you know that the Bible says that faith increases? It's like anything. You wouldn't have a six-pack? You have to go and keep pulling those, picking up those weights. being careful what you consume. I mean, you have to get in a discipline. The more you do it, the more you'll have that look you want, people want. And that's the same with all the spiritual principles. When we come to the Lord, we have what we call the first love. Man, we want to turn this world upside down. We're on fire for the Lord. And that's what we got to keep going, the fire on the Lord in our hearts. Not forsake our first love. Keep asking for God to increase it if we have left it. Because there is times that it's hard. But you know what? If you practice your faith in little things, it will be easier in big things. But if we don't exercise our faith in little things, guess what? When it's a big issue, God knows what we will do. And the Bible says, go to 2 Corinthians 10:15, and it says that faith could be increased. I don't know what you do. I have a plan for my family to memorize scripture. 2 verses a week. That's not much, but boy, when we have those scriptures, we gotta keep at it, or else we won't make it. But when it comes to memorizing the promises of God, they say that there's 3,000 promises of God. And there was a study done that the average Christian doesn't even claim 5% of those promises. I don't know how you pray. I don't know what's your prayer life like. But that study showed that most of the people that got into that study did not confess that they did not claim the promises of God. It has to be by faith. And if you don't have those promises, I don't know how you're going to stand when you have a problem. I mean, we exercise in little things, then we can be faithful in bigger things. Right? So everything has to be done by faith. Little things, medium-sized things, and big things, because faith increases depending how you use it. Romans 2 Corinthians 10:15, it talks about Paul talking to this church. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. It just says that faith increases. Let's see. 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. The Bible says that our faith could increase. Well, how? Well, I don't know what kind of task you're going through. Talk to the Lord about it and tell him, Lord, help me trust you. I don't know. If we write down the things we have to pray for, that it's a long list. Now, if you see what the Bible tells us to pray about, woo, and it just doesn't tell the leader, the one that has the gift of teaching or the title that's called pastor. It tells us to everybody. And we have to be disciplined enough. You know, if we would want a career, we have to start putting things aside just to fulfill the time that we have to dedicate to the study. My daughter wants to graduate, but he took more classes. Well, I hope she can make it. Well, I should say, I know that she's going to make it because we're praying for her. And she's giving all she got. The family. She has a little baby. We have I thought I was going to die without seeing a grandchildren, but thank God we have one. And the school. No, we will try to support you, but just keep at it. Yes, I want to graduate this year. I already told her that we would drop whatever we could to go to her graduation, but, well, I'm speaking by faith. Have you heard people say, I'm speaking by faith? Things that we are trusting God that it'll happen. And brothers, faith has to be start in little things so it could increase. Everything, there's a saying in Spanish that practice makes perfection. I don't know in English if that's a common saying, but it has a lot of meaning. You want to get better at it, just get into it. If you want to trust God in things that are impossible, well, get involved with the things that are possible. Brothers, more than ever, I know that there's too much entertainment to get people in the church, but we have to still trust God because He's the one that adds them to the church. We just have to be faithful, doing our responsibility that it's going out, giving out the gospel. Worry free of the rest. Yeah, we can offer them a ride if they can or if they're in wheelchairs or whatever, but our job is to trust God that He'll do what He has told us that He would do, doing our part. I know that the first fiery dart that the devil throws at anybody, when we talk about soul winning or they're talking about learning the plan of salvation, that we can't. The first thing is, no, I can't. I'm too old. I'm too young. I didn't go to school. I can't read. I don't have this, and I'm not like others, and I'm not too smart. He's always throwing fiery darts. I'm too busy. I can't break off and go do it with the group or individually. He's always giving us the negative side, and the thing we have to do is shake it off, trust God that we are able. That's what I thought when I first started soul winning. Like I told you before, I ran my friends off, hoping that they would run off. They turned witness and what? And I was like 2 months old in the Lord. But I took the challenge, and I haven't stopped since. And praise God, I don't think I'll stop. Because that's, my knees shake. Yeah, they still shake. People close the door at me when they don't want nothing to do with the gospel. Yeah, they still do it. It gets cold, it gets raining, it's snowed. Yeah, yeah, can't deny that. But you know what? We're trusting God that if we do our part, He's going to do His. There's a lot of homeless people that they want God to do everything. No, I tell them, hey, God left a part humanly possible for us to do. And He left a part that we need to trust Him for Him to do it. But we have to do first. He's not going to do anything that we neglect, that we don't do just because we don't do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to make a miracle just because we don't do it and we want Him to do it all. No, He left a part for us. And brothers, thank God that we have faith. He says, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Has anybody know what a mustard seed looks like? I don't know if a little grain of salt is the same as a mustard seed, but they're really small. When we talk about seed, that's the smallest one there is. But brothers, thank God that we have Jesus, that he told us to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that produces it, and He's the one that makes us exercise on it. As long as we're focused on Him, if you want to examine how cold or how hot are you for the Lord, is how much you seek Him. How much you have your emphasis on Him. If you don't have that much emphasis like before, you're getting further away. But if you're still aiming that you ain't, I told my son, anything that does not align with God is not good. You shouldn't deal with it. You're supposed to put it away. Dad, I'm single. I'm not married. Well, still, what doesn't please God, I'm not going to approve it. You talk to Him if you want to do something, but I'm going to trust God that you're going to do the right thing, that we are going to see you, that you go through the right way. He toughs it out. But, brothers, believe me, We have to exercise in the faith so it could keep increasing, because we don't know what's for tomorrow. We're going to trust God that He'll give us, if He gives us tomorrow, that we're going to see tomorrow. But brothers, things are getting pretty tough outside. Believe me. I don't know. There was a report that the Euphrates River is so low, and they were saying that as soon as it dries, there's a prophecy that as soon as it dries, God is going to let four demons to come and destroy one third of this earth. Whoa, I said, whoa. We've seen the river that it's just a little lagoon. It's really, really, really drying up. I said, Lord, more prophecy coming to fulfilling because You're coming. And I really think, I feel like sometimes I look up and feel like He's just right there, just ready to show up. Prophecies are coming through more than ever. This pandemic thing, it was prophesized. It's not over yet. I think they'll come in a harder way. But all these plagues and all these problems, we're not going to be here, but it looks like we're very close. We have to be trusting God. He asked us, when the Son of Man comes, is He going to find faith in this earth? Well, that's for you to respond to Him or give you the answer on yourself. Paul said, I know who I have believed, and I know that He's faithful to keep me for that day. I can't speak for you, but we have to speak for ourselves answering that question. Brothers, use your faith, stay strong, and let God be God in your lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for giving us this opportunity to come before You. And Lord, we just want to thank You for giving us a little bit of faith that we have. And I ask You for You to increase it. Lord, we all need it. We all need faith to live day by day and trusting You in all the things that You have told us to do. And the things that happen around us, and the people that are needing intercession, just help us, Lord, do our part faithfully, and Lord, increase our faith. We ask You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor.
All right, if you'll stand with me if you're able, we'll have a time of invitation. Again, if God spoke to you and you need to come, you come, take this time.